thank you for donating more than $100,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. And with 2 weeks left in 2016, we're $18,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year. Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. We are facing Christmas as this coming Sunday. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen this year. Christmas, the nativity of our Lord, falls on the Lord's Day. That doesn't only mean that if you're getting some vacation, it kind of counts on your weekend and you get a little gypped there. That means that there's a lot to say in those times, because the Lord's Day is always the Lord's Day, even when it is the celebration of the Nativity. And the two are not in conflict. The real question is there anything we can say about Christmas that people don't already know? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Carl Fikencher joins us to look forward to Sunday morning on this 19th day of December. Looking forward to Christmas Eve, Christmas midnight, Christmas dawn, Christmas day, the whole Christmas celebration. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. Always a pleasure, especially this day.
This isn't just something that I think pastors face when they get ready to start writing their Christmas cycle sermons. It's what parishioners face too when they sit down for yet another Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. What can we say about Christmas that people don't already know?
Well, I think that is a big challenge to the preacher, and certainly for hearers, it can be something that seems to be a stumbling block to real joy in worship. I mean, we're rejoicing in all kinds of good things going on this time of year, but to have those moments during the worship service, and especially during the sermon, to be really focused moments is not always so very easy. Yes, you and I both know when we preach year after year to our congregations, we realize it's tough to come up with something new. So I think maybe the better thing is to step back for just a moment and say, it's not so much a matter of coming up with something that we don't already know, something of information that is unknown, although we probably could continue to mine nuggets on that score forever as well. The bigger thing is that there is a depth to what we do know that is always going to elude our grasp. In fact, Todd, I'll go ahead and give my theme right up front this time. I don't usually do that, but it I think perhaps invites us to look in a different way at all of the propers. My theme for all of the propers that we'll look at together this day would be this. The incarnation of God at Christmas gives us enough to ponder, not only for 2 days or for a short season, but for eternity. We're going to come together on Christmas Eve. We're going to come together on Christmas Day to worship. Those 2 days, no doubt. The world sees the season at least lasting a couple of days, I suppose. We in the church know that the Christmas season is beyond that, at least the 12 days of Christmas. But it isn't just a matter of two worship services or a couple of weeks of focusing on what happens when God becomes a human being that will exhaust the matter at all. And it isn't just a matter of new information, but turning over in our minds and in our hearts what that means for us. And I would venture to say, and I'll give some examples before we finish today, that we, even in heaven, for all eternity, will never exhaust the depth of meaning of what happens at Christmas when God becomes a human being. The incarnation of God at Christmas gives us enough to ponder, not only for 2 days or for a short season, but for eternity.
You wanted to start with the collect for Christmas Eve, which begins, "You make us glad with the yearly remembrance." Take us in there, if you would.
Yes. And Todd, I think at this time of year, as I said, it's not so much a matter of unpacking information as it is looking again and again and again devotionally at the magnificent things before us. So I'd like to begin with our collect, not as we usually do when we kind of unpack the content and discuss what's there, but I'd like to open and later on with another collect close, simply with the collects as prayers, so that our time together this week, as we look forward to this Sunday morning, would really be a devotional time, a time of worship, and a time that sets us in a position to come to church on Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, not just looking for more information, but ready to contemplate what God gives us. Let's pray together the collect for the Nativity of our Lord, Christmas Eve. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let's look at the intro for Christmas Day. We have so many propers facing us this weekend. We have to take a few. So what is the intro for?
And perhaps even a word of explanation there. And as we come to worship on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, your pastor will have done a great deal of sorting and sifting, because the way our lectionary works, it actually gives four different sets of propers. You've identified them already for us as Christmas Eve, Christmas Midnight, Christmas Dawn, and then finally Christmas Day, which ultimately are intended to be quite flexible. There are some of the propers that lean more toward the nighttime and some toward the day. But in fact, the intention of the lectionary is that these could be interchanged from year to year and from service to service. So it's in every parish, there will be different choices made among these. But we do have a gospel reading for each of the four, an epistle lesson for each of the four, and even intro its collects for each of the four. What I'm doing then, of course, is to select some of them as a sampling. Undoubtedly, we'll hear some of, Christmas's greatest hits among these readings, and there will be others that you'll hear in your worship service that will be different from these. But the introit for Christmas Day is particularly selected because it does combine several elements that are very likely to occur. The introit for Christmas Day is Psalm 98, verses 1 through 4, but the antiphon, the beginning and ending, are Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And that, of course, will be very familiar to us as I speak those words. Here's the introit for Christmas Day. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Isaiah 9, verse 6, which is the antiphon for this intro, is very familiar. And in fact, of course, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7 is one of the Old Testament lessons that can be read for one of the services of the Christmas season. It begins, "The people who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light," and so on. Verse 6 is that magnificent verse, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So much to be said in those magnificent names by which he will be called. And we could certainly spend most of a program on just those names. But let's focus on one element here, and that is the phrase, "to us." To us a child is born, to us a son is given. That is perhaps the most blessed word, most blessed phrase in this entire reading, as rich as it all is. Because if the one coming were a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace, a wonderful Counselor for everyone else, that would not be at all the same as it is when we're assured that he comes to us. In a very real sense, Christ comes to be our baby. And we could even say that individually, each one of us, my baby, my Savior. Each one of us really is invited by the prophet Isaiah, by God himself, to say that this baby Jesus has come to save me in the singular, in the individual. Yes, he's come to be the Savior of the whole world. Very clear. But that isn't just a broad generic. That is each one of us individually. And everything is different at Christmas when we realize that it's not just the hustle and bustle the whole world is sharing. And as magnificent as it is to share that Christmas Eve candlelight service with loved ones from our families, Christ would have come into the world if I'd been sitting there in church alone. He would have come just for me. And so every individual is invited to be assured that Christ has come into the world to be my Savior, to be my wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Todd, one more note of interest in the intro, and that is that Psalm 98, verses 1 through 4, is the basis for our magnificent hymn, Joy to the World. It's the text that Isaac Watts used in putting words to the magnificent music that Georg Handel included as part of his Messiah. Handel's Messiah includes these portions of Scripture. And we recognize in verse 4 of Psalm 98 the kicker line, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." So, as we speak or chant that intro it for Christmas Day, we'll be recalling those magnificent words from Isaiah chapter 9 and the words of Psalm 98 that give us the hymn, Joy to the World.
And when we come back, we're going to look at the Old Testament reading for Christmas Day, which is in Isaiah as well, Isaiah 52, beginning at the 7th verse. Dr. Carl Fekenscher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Stay tuned. If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School of Edwardsville, Illinois presents Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Bring your family and friends to experience a wonderful reenactment of the Christmas story.
There will be live music and a cookie sale.
Journey to the Manger is from 5 to 8 p.m. on December 23rd. Allow yourself at least 30 minutes to make your way through the entire Christmas story.
Free will donations of $25 or more will receive a free handcrafted gift.
Come to Journey to the Manger for an evening of fun, fellowship,
and the celebration of the true reason for the season.
For any questions, call 618-656-0043. Merry Christmas!
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Stanza 2 of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, one of the angel songs that is sung in the celebration of Christmas. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, which is Christmas Day, on this Monday, December the 19th, with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Old Testament reading for Christmas Day is what you have chosen to kind of highlight our preparations for the Christmas cycle. What's there?
Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10. Remember, we're considering that there is enough to ponder here at Christmas for a whole eternity. And we've already suggested from the intro that we might ponder the fact that even if we were sitting all alone on Christmas Eve in church, Christ would have come just for us. Now, for this, Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10, picture, ponder this very vivid and very exciting scene. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. In a sense, this is among the most joyful places, I think, in all of Scripture. Right up there with some of the scenes in Revelation of the hallelujahs that the heavenly choir is singing. Our picture here is of a herald, someone who has great news to tell, standing on a mountain, and I almost picture with a great big trumpet, almost as if he's not speaking the words, but trumpeting the message to the whole world. And from that mountaintop, that message is going to go out in all directions a long, long way. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Picture that scene. Picture the mountaintop. Picture the herald with the trumpet. And picture the joy that he is experiencing as he shouts it out or trumpets out the message to all the world. And then, everywhere, people will be seeing it. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. They see from a distance that trumpeter. They hear his message coming, wafting over the airways, coming to them. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. They break forth in singing, even the waste places of Jerusalem, for God has comforted his people. The phrase here, I think, is very, very special. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. This is a magnificent picture to consider also, to ponder at this Christmas time. When God created Adam and Eve, he created this magnificent relationship where he was with his people in every way, so intimately. Sin broke that, created a breach between God and man, separated heaven from earth, separated God from his people, as if we were out on our own and God was somewhere else. But when eye to eye sees the return of the Lord to Zion, it means that God has crossed over that breach. He is closing the separation that has been there between God and man since that first sin. And of course, that is exactly what happened when God entered into our world, entered into our history to be with us. God became a human being. God took his place in a little tiny place in a little tiny town of Bethlehem and was laid in a little tiny manger. God took his place among us, with us. He returned to Zion. He crossed over that chasm that we could never cross, came to be with us so that we could forever be with him. And finally, verse 10, the Lord has bared his holy arm. A magnificent picture again of God no longer being distant, no longer being invisible, no longer being hidden. In this case, he rolls up his sleeve. He bares his holy arm, rolls up his sleeve, so that the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And that means defeating all the enemies, Satan and his henchmen, defeating the power of death, defeating sin for us, rolling up his sleeves, bearing his arm, so that we can see he is actively, powerfully for us, fighting the good fight for us, defeating our enemies for us. Picture again the herald on the mountain trumpeting out. Picture God crossing that breach all the way from heaven to earth to be among us and rolling up his sleeves to be our champion to defeat those enemies who stand against us. Now ponder that, and not just for a couple of days, but for eternity.
You wanted to deal with two gospel readings. I'd like you to read the one from John, if you would. We'll get into it on the other side of the break, and then we'll deal with the narrative of the account of Jesus' birth. But before you do that, real briefly, why do John first, which is kind of the theological explanation, and then the actual factual account of Christ's birth in that order?
Well, Todd, that's a great question, and the answer may not be very satisfactory. The fact of the matter is, in our lectionary, we usually go the other way, including John chapter 1 being one of the lessons for the first or second Sunday after Christmas. The reason I've done it is because I like finishing with Luke chapter 2. That may not be a great answer, but it's my answer.
If you would read that John account for us, and then we'll take a break.
John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
On the other side of the break, we will get into that gospel reading from John chapter 1. It is the gospel reading for the day of Christmas, and then we'll also hear that Christmas dawn, Luke 2, the typical reading there, as we walk through the propers. Looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Looking forward to the church's celebration of Christmas on this coming Lord's Day. Stay tuned.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
This is the Christ, our God, Most High, who hears your sad and bitter cry. He will himself your Savior be.
From the Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, we're looking forward to Sunday morning, which is the church's celebration of Christmas. Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest. Before the break, you read from John chapter 1, usually called the prologue, but it is in fact John's nativity story. Take us into it.
Well, it is a magnificent expression of exceedingly beautiful theology, the theology of the Incarnation. And this certainly is something that we will all be pondering, not just for a couple of days or for the Christmas season, but for all eternity, how the Word becomes flesh. This is the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The beginning, of course, is not a starting point in history. John is speaking of all eternity, from before the creation of the world and anything we else might say else before that. Beyond our comprehension, from all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been in that magnificent Trinitarian relationship, and the Word is none other than the Son, the one through whom God accomplishes his great work, including the creation of the world. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 is magnificent. In him was life. One could stop there and dwell on that forever. Christ, the Son of God, is the one who gives life. He is the one by whom we breathe, by whom we move, by whom we have eternity. He is the one that animates us in every sense. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Apart from the Son of God, we would have no understanding of who God is. We would be in complete darkness. Everyone has an idea that God is out there. That's something that even an atheist tries very hard to dismiss. Everyone knows that because there's this great big universe and operating in an orderly way, there really must be somebody out there that has brought this into being. But we on our own, left to no more information than that, would always be guessing, struggling to comprehend who it might be, and our guesses would always be wrong. We'd picture big, we'd picture powerful, but what we would never picture is someone who is intimately interested in us, who really is engaging us all the time. We would be totally in the dark about God being gracious, about God caring for us, about God having as his purpose to have us with him as the objects of his love. We would never understand that except for this word. God announced this to us through a man named John. This is a reference to John the Baptist, who we considered during the season of Advent. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He wasn't the light, but he came to witness to the light. Then the true light did come into the world. He came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. To all who did receive him, though, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Contemplate this. Ponder this. The Son of God enables us also to be children of God, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All of this, everything we've been pondering, is because of this magnificent miracle in verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. In all eternity, we'll never fully unpack that. God, who has existed forever, who cannot change, somehow, nevertheless, became one of us, took on human flesh. We think in the reverse. We think of God creating us in his image, and of course that's absolutely true. But what we forget is that implies that God himself has things in him which are very much to be found in humanity. That's very counterintuitive to us. How God, who is eternal, who is above and beyond all things, could somehow nevertheless have in himself things that are natural to us, that are part of being human beings. God became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt among us there can also be translated rather literally as tabernacled with us. That's a reminder of the Old Testament tabernacle when Israel, between Egypt and the Promised Land, worshipped in that tent church that moved with them, called the tabernacle. That was a fabulous reminder to the people of God in those days that they were not on their own as they wandered through the wilderness, that God was always with them. Christ came to dwell among us, to truly be one of us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. An amazing thing to realize that when we see Christ, we see God's glory. Nobody has seen God the Father at any time, but Christ has revealed him to us even as that tiny baby born in Bethlehem. There already, that tiny baby, so small physically, so helpless by all appearances, nevertheless is nothing less than the glory of God. And that's a magnificent reminder that God's glory isn't just his light which overwhelms us, but God's greater glory, ultimately, is that he willingly takes on this human flesh, that he humbles himself to save us. God's greatest glory is that he cares for his creation who has sinned against him, his creatures who have rebelled against him, and he places himself in the position of caring for us, even to the extent of his humiliation, which is what he takes on when he takes on human flesh.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. He'll be with us for about another 15 minutes on the other side of this break. As we look forward to Sunday morning, the church's celebration of Christmas, trying to wrap all together Christmas Eve, Christmas midnight, Christmas dawn, and Christmas day. The Christmas Eve reading, of course, or the Christmas midnight story, is going to be from Luke chapter 2, and we will do that on the other side of the break, as well as the collect for Christmas Day. Dr. Carl Fikencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a little later in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. We're going to talk about Adam and Eve, our first parents, with Dr. Brian Gurman, who is assistant professor of theology and director of the Concordia Bible Institute at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Hour 2 is next with more of Dr. Carl Fikencher.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Give the gift of a clean home this Christmas with the gift certificate from the Cleaning Authority. Gift certificates can be purchased for as little as $75 for a partial clean. Go to gifts.thecleaningauthority.com, enter your contact information, and choose the amount. Give the gift of time for a loved one with a Christmas gift certificate from the Cleaning Authority. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com.
Oh, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft and defiled, a quiet chamber set apart for you to dwell within my heart.
That is the 13th stanza of the Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. We're looking forward to the Lord's Day. This week, it's going to be the celebration of Christ's birth, Christmas Day. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Carl Fikencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Concordia Theological Seminary is going to be hosting their annual symposia, January the 17th through the 20th. This year's themes are the spirit of the Reformation, exegesis today, and the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, continuing the celebration. Join us as we broadcast live from the 2017 symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and find out more at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu. Dr. Fikencher, we have, in a sense, saved the best for last. Luke 2, that is the gospel reading for Christmas dawn.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and Todd, before the break, you asked a great question. Theologically, it makes a lot more sense to do this one first and come back with John 1 afterwards, but just forgive me for a little drippy sentimentality there, that this is so doggone sweet that I'd like to finish with it. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and if you'll indulge me again, I'll even read it from the King James. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Todd, you asked such an excellent question at the very beginning. You know, what can we say as pastors, as preachers, on Christmas that people don't already know? And the fact of the matter is, we may come out quite a few Christmases without picking up anything cognitive that is brand new information to us. But just to hear again and to ponder these words and all of the readings for Christmas, all the Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Dawn, Christmas Midnight, has so much value in itself. Yesterday, my wife and I were visiting with a gentleman, an elderly gentleman, for whom we are guardians, a good, very dear friend of ours, whose memory now does not serve him very well. But we were able to sit down with him and celebrate Christmas together and speak these words of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 from the King James by memory, my wife and I. And sure enough, he was able to join in on many passages, many of those very same verses. It really is something that gives us cause to ponder, to consider, to contemplate much beyond what we may just consciously know. We know a lot of wonderful things. We know that this is God breaking into history. The reference to Caesar Augustus and Cyrenius being governor of Syria are Luke's way of making it very clear that this is something that happened at a particular place and a particular time. And that's huge, because it means the eternal God has become one of us in our world, in our history. God breaks into history. He comes across that breach that our sin had created, that the watchman in Isaiah's Old Testament lesson saw so beautifully, God coming across that separation. It places it historically in the line of David. They were of the Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. As a result, Jesus, born to Mary, a biological descendant of David, and adopted by Joseph, a biological descendant of David, means that God has fulfilled his promise that one of David's heirs would sit on the throne forever. We know, of course, the story of coming to Bethlehem as a result of the enrollment that Caesar Augustus has ordered, getting there perhaps at a busy time. We picture that, at least, the inn being full because many people may have been coming to their homes of heritage, and the result is that when Mary gives birth to her firstborn son, it can't be with any of the comforts that any woman would wish. Martin Luther, in one of his Christmas sermons, writes so beautifully about this, the things that she wanted, needed, that any woman would desire in that situation, she did not have, but gives birth to that son and lays him in a manger in the very rough kind of place where animals would live and be fed. Of course, that pictures the way God comes to us. When he crosses that breach, he doesn't come across in order to destroy us. He comes to be one of us, to put himself in our position, the position of weakness, of humility, of suffering that we have experienced ever since we brought suffering into the world, brought it upon ourselves by our sin. That's where God places himself. And meanwhile, out in the fields nearby, shepherds, people who were for the most part outcasts in society, that was labor that most people did not want, tough and demanding, dangerous even, certainly uncomfortable, considered lowly. But it's to those lowly shepherds that God chooses to reveal the greatest news that could ever come, God breaking into history. The result is exactly what we must expect. When the shepherds see the angel, they are sore afraid, the King James tells us. That's always the way it must be when we sinful people are confronted with the glory of God. But here's the message. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Don't be afraid, because God has not come to destroy you. God has come to save you, to reconcile you to himself. He crosses that breach. He returns to Zion. He comes to his people in humility so that he can lift us up to live with him. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ, the anointed one, the one promised throughout history, the Lord, nothing less than God himself, has come to be our Savior. Yes, your Savior, my Savior, for each one of us personally, to us, each one of us individually, as well as to all of us together, that child is born. The sign could not be more remarkable that God is lying in a manger. And so, the angel announces with glory, and then a whole company of the heavenly host sings out, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men," perhaps well translated by the English Standard Version, "peace among those with whom he is pleased." That focuses on the reconciliation that we have between God and man by Christ coming to earth. We've talked about that so many times. That always is an expression of the cross. Every time we see peace in Scripture, it is a reminder of Christ recreating, recapturing that peace between God and man by his death on the cross. When the shepherds come to Bethlehem, they see it exactly as it was told to them. And we can only imagine what Mary must be thinking as shepherds show up expressly to see this baby born to her and telling the amazing story of what they had just seen and heard out there in the field. Angels singing about this child that now they find to be exactly as told to them. And then verse 19, and this I think again is the basis for our theme and may well be with us for all eternity. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Literally, she treasured up these things, pondered them in her heart, turned them over in her mind again and again and again. And I think in many ways it is true that we'll be doing just that very thing in heaven. This Sunday, as we come to worship on Christmas Day, or Saturday night as we worship on Christmas Eve, I invite all of us to ponder these things in at least a few ways that I offer as only a beginning of the things to contemplate. For now and for eternity, ponder this. First of all, that without the incarnation, there could be no salvation. God had to become human in order to fulfill the law that was given to humanity, and it had to be God who was the human baby born in the manger in order for his sacrifice on the cross to be a sufficient ransom for the sins of the world. Ponder that. Ponder this. Every time we come to the Lord's Supper, and certainly in many of our churches, we pray all of our churches, this Sunday there will be that opportunity. Every time we come to the Lord's Supper throughout the year, ponder that this is nothing less than Christmas, that God is bodily present with us in the sacrament because God took on human flesh, was made incarnate, the feast that we celebrate this coming Sunday. Think about that. Ponder that every time we come to communion. Ponder this, that the Son of God incarnate is how we see what we were created to be and what we will be forever. God created man in his own image. Before there was the sin that corrupted that image, This is what we had, the perfect human being, which now we really do see lying there in a manger. When we see Christ, we see everything that God created us to be, and we see what God is restoring us to be in our humanity. And finally, at least for starters, ponder this, that the Son of God incarnate is how we will know, how we will see God forever in heaven. Even in heaven, we can't expect to see the Heavenly Father, but we will see face to face, smile to smile, arm in arm embrace, God in the flesh. Because when God became incarnate, that was for eternity. God never will cease to be truly man. When we are in heaven, we will see Jesus as he has become in taking on human flesh, the flesh that we saw in the manger, the flesh in which he lived throughout his life on earth, the flesh by which he died for our sins on the cross, the flesh that he will continue to occupy also now with us for all eternity. And for all eternity, when we are in heaven looking at the Son of God in the flesh, that's how we will see the fullness of God. Ponder that for a while.
You wanted to conclude with the collect for, if I'm not mistaken, for Christmas Day itself.
That's right. And again, this is just to be offered simply as a prayer that perhaps we also ponder in our hearts as we prepare for worship. And when we hear this prayer spoken to us or among us this coming weekend, we rejoice in all that it means, and we'll continue to rejoice in that forever. Let's close with prayer. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set us free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Dr. Carl Fikancher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikancher, a blessed Christmas to you and yours, and thank you.
And to you, Todd, and all of us at Issues, etc.
On the other side of the break, the church remembers on the 19th of December, Adam and Eve. Dr. Brian Gurman will join us to do so right after this.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at LutherAcademy.com, LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook. facebook.com/Luther Academy.